we added another quality receiver in Josh Huff. Obviously, I know him extremely well. Outstanding young man. Great position versatility with him. Josh played every position when we were at Oregon, so he's been an outside receiver for us. He's been an inside receiver. Played a little bit of running back early in his career. He's returned kicks. He's an outstanding special teams player. You're getting a physical football player, just a shade under 6 feet, between 205, 210 pounds. He can run. Got a nasty presence to himself, so he's not risk adverse to contact. I mean, he's going to get after people. He's a physical player in the run game, so really excited to see if we can add him to the group. And you know, one of the things, especially with our receivers and DBs and all those other positions, is if you're not the starter, you got to be a special teams player, and I think he'd be a standout at that also. So
I know at Oregon he had some issues with his family and his mom. What was that like?
I think he developed a great relationship with Scott Frost, who was our wide receiver coach at the time, and now is the current offensive coordinator. And, I think he grew to trust everybody on the coaching staff and kind of consider them family. And, just a special young man in terms of what he's been able to accomplish. He's graduated. He has his degree. Obviously had a little bit different upbringing than some people, but never used it as an excuse and always really kind of fueled to the fire for him to accomplish what he wanted to accomplish. And he's got an opportunity now to play in the National Football League, and he's a college graduate. So it's a real good deal and a real neat kid. You're really going to enjoy him when he gets here.
In the draft, was it a challenge to retain opportunity with
these
guys who you know so well?
Yeah, it is. And I specifically stayed out of those guys, and I let – let the personnel, without any input from me, you guys give me what your grades are and who you think. And, you can ask Howie and those guys. I think the points in time where they got to convince me that this is the direction we're going in, because I try to divorce myself from that situation. So,
with such a deep receiver class, why do you want to go receiver back-to-back
like this? We're following exactly the way it was. And when we kind of look up there at every time, I think we always talk about it, it's just staring you in the face. And he was the highest-ranked guy we had. And, as we looked at it, it's the same thing, I think, as, you get to the bulk of the draft where we are now. When names go, it's like, God, I liked him. He was a pretty good player, and you just keep picking the names off the board, and then you look at it and look up, and, same thing. Who's the highest-ranked guy as we're going, and what are we going to do? I thought we did a really good job of putting ourselves in position tomorrow. We have the first pick tomorrow morning, which is an interesting pick, because I think everybody thinks overnight who they like. So, sometimes it's got a little bit more value than just moving into the next rounds, because people are going to think if they need to move, there's an opportunity maybe to move into 101. So we picked up another pick when we traded back. So we got two more picks tomorrow plus our that we acquired plus our other picks. So, we got a pretty good system that we continue to follow. There's still some quality guys on the board that we really want to get, and we're hopeful that they'll still be available when we get there tomorrow. So. He was more of a kick returner for us. He is a punt returner, but he was more of a kick returner. Braylon Addison, who's still there, another young man, was a really good punt returner for us. But Josh has returned kickoffs for us early in his career. Kind of the whole same thing that I think happens in the National Football League is, as they start and they're younger, they're really more special teams. And that's where he was a real good kick returner as a freshman. As he kept moving up and really becoming the go-to guy at receiver, then they kind of backed off a little bit on the special team standpoint of him. We hope so. And I think that it's been a big emphasis. The addition to Chris Maragos, Brian Brayman, guys like that, Nolan Carroll, outstanding special teams players. Bringing Darren in here, that was the one thing we really thought, especially besides his ability as a running back and as a receiver coming out of the backfield, I think his ability as a returner, I think that's a huge, especially when your roster, when you get the game day, is only 46. So, it basically for us, again, I've said this before, when we make a selection tomorrow in the fifth round, in my mind, we've already picked Darren Sproles because that was our fifth round pick. So. I think it's important from the standpoint of, number one, intelligence is a huge part of what we're looking for in every aspect that we do, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams. So, the fact that they have a degree is proven kind of where they are from an intelligence factor. But the other thing, it's also, what's their commitment? you know, and they set goals out for themselves, and can they follow through for it? You know, and a lot of people can tell you that they want to do this, 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 and this, but, you know, look at their accomplishments, you know, and I think sometimes when you look at those things, it's, you know, it's always a plus when you have that. And Tony Dungy came to speak to our team when I was at Oregon, just to speak to our players about it, and I think he had some statistic that kind of blew our mind, that the two teams from 2000 to 2010 that had the most graduates were the Colts and the Patriots, there was something to it. You know, teams that are really successful seem to have that. So, number one, I think it shows their intelligence, but I also think it shows you their commitment and people's ability to follow through with goals. So,
why did you trade back, lose an extra third round pick, which you gained a pick, but the players I would think in the third round are better than the players in the fourth or fifth round? So why do you think it's just?
Well, I don't think it's necessarily that way, because not everybody sees it the way we see it, or we don't see it the way they see it. I don't think we went back far. And we really feel that having the top pick tomorrow morning has a little bit more value. But so really when you go back to the top of four, it's really you've gone back to the end of three. So when you look at it, it's the way we look at it kind of conceptually is I can take him with this pick, or if I back up, maybe he's still here and I can get him. So you're getting a two for one is what you're trying to do. Now, sometimes it doesn't always work that way, because the risk is that when I back up, he gets picked. So, you know, we did it in the first round. We felt like we were going to take Marcus at 22. How far do we go back if we back up to, as I said yesterday, we backed up to 26. The thing that scared us is D Ford went, and now we're concerned who's the next pass rusher off the board, you know, and how do they look at that? And then, you know, do you want to go back again? If we do go back again, he may not be there, you know, so it's you're gambling a little bit, kind of playing with the house's money, but when there's an opportunity to what you think is maybe still get the player. So we feel there's guys right now that we still have rated in the third round that are there that will be there tomorrow morning when we wake up and we make our first selection at the beginning of the fourth round, but we picked up another pick, so we got an extra body. So that's kind of how we do it.
How had the rest of your season, last year's season, was he kind of like pretty much in the total hole for that year?
Yeah, I think it's one of – no, Josh was extremely productive in the 3 years I was there, but I think he moved into a great leadership role. And when you talk to the coaching staff there now, you know, in terms of the step he made, you know, we had some guys that played with him. You know, Jeff Mayle was with him when he was a younger guy, LT Tuane, and some of those guys. It's just one of those maturation processes as he's gone. But, there is a marked improvement from each year. But he was a kid that actually did come in and played as a true freshman for us. So – you know, I think like most guys, you hope you see that production, you know, and I do know in Josh's situation, also the same thing. It helps that guy's pulling the trigger in Oregon is there too, throwing the ball around. So, you know, Marcus had a better year his sophomore year than he did his freshman year, but they had a pretty special connection in that, you know, when you see the highlights, he made some standout plays, and he's a lot of fun to watch. So. I don't know. I think we're still going to, you know, right now, I would say I think we've addressed needs in terms of what we're doing. Now it's where are we from a depth standpoint? Where can we add to this? You know, but I think that's more kind of what our mindset is as we're going tomorrow. And you know, you're not going to pass on, I don't think, any position right now. If there's a guy that we feel is, you know, we hadn't rated in the third and all of a sudden we're in the middle of the fourth pick and you're saying, hey, we're going to take the guy, you know, so. You know, I think that's where you get value. You know, a couple of years ago here, they did that. They took, I think, Julian Vandervelde in the fifth, and they followed up with Jason Kelsey in the sixth, two guys to play the same position. So, you know, you're getting to a point where you're just trying to add quality depth and people that you think can come in and compete for jobs.
We said yesterday that there were a lot of good players in the draft that you guys don't necessarily have on the board at Ryan Pack because they're not necessarily scheme fits. Can you say if Louis Nix would kind of fit that mold?
No, I think Louis Nix would be a scheme fit because I think he's a 3-4 type player.
Even at his size, he's pretty big, and you guys are more.
We like big guys.
Talking about the guys that were still third round guys that might still be there, just off the top of your head, are there a lot of guys still on the board? I mean,
we have probably a handful of guys that we have rated above the fourth round that are still there right now. So, you know, that's kind of how we look at it. And it was the same thing last year. You know, we kind of looked – I think we had taken Benny last year at this time, and we left. I remember going back up to the office, and we looked at the board, and Matt Barkley was still there. You know, and that was a conversation we had, and we left and went to bed, and then woke up in the morning and said, you know, what are we going to do? And we followed that thing and followed that mindset. And we had Earl Wolfe in a higher grade. You know, we looked back up in the fifth, and all of a sudden Earl's there. So, it's the interesting thing about the draft. It's we see it through our eyes. So maybe there are other people that don't see it that way. But, you know, for us, we think that's a bonus. But we still think there's some quality players there that in the next couple of rounds that will come in here and compete for position. So. No, we didn't have an objective. Again, we talked about we're going to let it play itself out. But we felt like with the depth at receiver, there's still guys there. I mean, it's that is the position that was the deepest in this draft. You know, there's some other positions, as I said it earlier, that we thought were pretty thin. You know, and you can kind of see how it's playing itself out. There hasn't been it, but there's consistent players. We felt receivers that could go in the first, go in the second, go in the third, and there's still guys tomorrow, day three guys that I think are going to make football teams. It's just – you know, with the influx of the juniors, especially at that position, I think there were 10 to 12 juniors that jumped to the top of the rankings, you know, starting with Watkins and Evans and all those guys. But there's still guys like Joshua, seniors, that, you know, are so good football players and are going to be productive players in the NFL. So it just that position itself lent it to that. So, you know, we're not adverse to taking another one tomorrow either. So.
Is there a good point where you get to a position where you say, okay, we're set there, we don't need to take another receiver?
We haven't gotten there yet, but there may be, yeah.
In having a full life, the other 13 teams have a full life of look at that first pick. Now, do you anticipate keeping it, or do you think you'll be shopping?
Well, I don't know if shopping's a word, but we'll listen. So, you know, I mean, we'll align ourselves when we get back upstairs of, you know, we'll be on the clock when we get here. If we're going, who are we going to take? It's going to be him, and then it just comes down to value, you know. And if you go through the histrionics of if we move down, will he go? How far are they? What's the offer to where are we going from? We're going from 101 to what, 107? If we lose him, who do we feel will still be there at 107? Do we feel comfortable with that? So it's, we'll see.
Is there a point in the draft when you start looking at guys who suffered injuries during the evaluation process?
Yeah, there is. You know, and the conversations that are going on right now, you know, where at that point in time do you know that maybe if you do draft them, you get a quote-unquote redshirt year out of them because they're not going to be, you know, they may not be ready to go, so they become a, you know, an IR guy, and certain teams have had a lot of success doing that. But, you know, you have to weigh the value. A lot of that comes back from Chris Peduzzi and his staff of what they feel the medical is on them in terms of, you know, is it a long-term prognosis or is it just some time that, you know, they'll be ready in October or November or December. But that's a conversation. Yes.
Speaking of redshirt, do you look at your
Yeah, we don't look at him as part of the class, but obviously he's part of. You know, we didn't get a chance to see a whole heck of a lot of him. He did have shoulder surgery, and he's back here now, full for off-season program and running around. And he's a guy that will, you know, wasn't in the mix last year on the defensive line, but will be in the mix this year. So yeah, you can say that. Yeah, we do look at him like that. So, you know, the big thing for us is we got 68 on the roster, and between the picks we've made now. And then what we'll do tomorrow and with free agency, we'll have, you know, we'll add 22 more guys so that we round out the roster at 90 and kind of hit the ground running on Monday and then see how the thing falls. Okay. Thanks, guys.